God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not fear. God is her refuge, and God will do what he said he would do. You and I know that we're living in difficult, trying times, but God is still our refuge. Behold what desolations he's made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God. You know, God didn't wake up this morning and look down and say, well, I better go down to Fort Worth and see what... No, no, no. The reason he didn't wake up this morning is because he didn't go to sleep last night. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm glad God is the same. That yesterday, today, forever, Jesus Christ has not changed. The world is changing. You and I have our changes. But God remains the same. And the Bible remains the same. Well, the old clock on the wall tells me it's time to get airborne. So the engine's all revved up. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible out there to the book of Philippians. By the way, as you're finding your place in Philippians chapter 4, I need to remind you that what Paul wrote in 64 A.D. to the church at Philippi is just as true and meaningful and inspired and infallible and inerrant and impeccable and powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical as it ever was. The Bible never changes. Through the ages, everything has changed, but the Word of God remains the same. Now with your Bible open to Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. And I shall read them after we pray together. Our Father, we are grateful this evening for the wonderful opportunity and privilege that is ours to share together thy timeless Word. I pray that we'd understand that you are speaking to us. Though this was written 2,000 years ago, we know it's still applicable in our day to us individually and personally. You know the needs of every person in this listening audience. Heartaches, grief, sorrow, pain, unemployment, illness, death, darkness, devastation. All of these things are happening. We don't know the hearts and the needs of all the people who will hear this message, but thou knowest. And I pray that you direct it to each one of us, that we may profit by it. We may be stronger. We may be more faithful to the things of Christ, to realize what it's all about, to trust thee moment by moment. So bless this message and bless this hour to thy honor and to thy glory. In Jesus' name I ask it, and with thanksgiving, amen. In Philippians chapter 4, at verse number 6, Paul writes, Be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything. Be not anxious about anything. Why? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep that in mind. Underscore minds. Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things, those things, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now in this series on Dear Lord, Tell Me What to Do, the message tonight is entitled, Dear Lord, I'm inclined to worry too much. Please tell me what to do. Three words jump off the page in the text verses that I've read you. The first one is prayer, verse 6. By the way, prayer is a first priority and not a last resort. Paul wrote to his apprentice, young Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, watch these next three words, first of all, underscore them. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The second word is the word think in verse 8. Paul tells us what to think about. He says, think on these things, things that are true, not untrue, things that are honest, not dishonest, things that are just, not unjust, things that are pure, not impure, things that are lovely, not unlovely, things which are of a good report, not a bad report, and the peace of God shall be with you. I'm glad that's true tonight. The third word is the word do. Out of verse 9, Paul says, those things that you have heard of me and received from me and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. These three words make a perfect formula for success. Pray right, think right, and do right. I remember when I was a student at Bob Jones University back in the dark ages, long time ago, Dr. Bob Jones III, the older man back in those days, he was alive, very much alive, and he said to us many times in the chapel services, young men, do right if the stars fall. Do right. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to take that to heart tonight. Now, I realize it's the 21st century, and the mindset is generally, go with the flow. No, 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 don't go with the flow, but go against the flow. I think that's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do not set some standards for the children and your grandchildren that are coming up, in the next generation, there will be no standards. There'll be nothing to guide them, to lead them, to direct them. They will blow up, as it were, what Isaiah said, and people are already doing, in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, they call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, let's drive in some pegs. Let's lay down some foundational truths from the Word of God for the next generation. Remember, he who prays right and thinks right does right. Philippians is often called the psychology book in the Bible. Paul addresses the mind. Remember, he talks about God's Spirit keeping the mind. He addresses the mind as he writes to the church at Philippi. Someone said the mind is like a parachute, good only when open. My text says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. In Philippians chapter 2 at verse 5, Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me give you a personal tip. To be the picture of health, you must stay in a good frame of mind. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the message of the Bible is addressed primarily to the mind. There are three words that go together, ladies and gentlemen. Hurry, worry, and bury. There are many courses taught in specialized schools all over America on worry. Seminars on worry are held on a regular basis. Millions and multiplied millions of dollars are spent annually on how to overcome worry. Stay tuned, my friend. Paul gives us the solution in two verses of Scripture, and this won't cost you anything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We read it a while ago. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By the way, what do you have to worry about anyhow? If you don't have $1 million, you never have to worry about losing $1 million. If you've already lost your hair, you don't ever have to worry about losing your hair. If you lost your teeth, you never have to worry about losing your teeth. And by the way, let me ask you this. Are you worried about the collapse in the United States economy? Your 401k, your retirement funds? Take courage, dear brother. Quit worrying. You are on a different economy. You're on God's economy. And it's all laid out in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All you need. Can I tell you, all you need is all you need. And the only need that God cannot supply is the need that you do not have. I give you 10 rules to help you overcome the blues. I hope you have a piece of paper and a pen. It won't take but a second or two to write these down. Rule number one, go out and do something good for someone else. Now repeat that 9 times. And I promise you, you'll get rid of the blues. If anyone had any reason to worry, it was the Apostle Paul. To begin with, his friends at Philippi were disagreeing with each other and just about to split the church that he founded and he loved so well. He was in prison. He was facing execution. He had not seen his family in a long time. He was growing old. He had no Social Security. He had no retirement program. He had no Medicare or Medicaid. He had no hospitalization insurance. no burial policy, no cemetery plot, no bank account, no savings bonds, no vacation pay. In fact, he didn't even have a vacation. He said, night and day I'm in this business. To top it all off, he was chained to two Roman soldiers 24/7. But in spite of all these negatives and all these pressing problems, no less than 13 times, Paul uses the words joy, rejoicing, and rejoice in four short chapters. I love what he wrote in chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now Paul was emphasizing it by repeating it. You know, when you repeat something, people know you believe what you're saying, and they know that you're emphasizing it because it's true. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Remember, Paul was writing from a prison cell in Rome, where he was in Nero's prison, but not Nero's prisoner. Listen to how he introduced himself in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Wow. What a man he was. And you can say tonight, if you're really born again and you're trusting Christ in the midst of all of your burdens, all of your problems, your trials, your difficulties, you can say and mean it with Paul, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now to the heart of the matter, I will answer three questions about worry. Number one, what is worry? Number two, how does worry affect a person? And number three, how can worry be overcome? Now to question number one, what is worry? The word worry comes from an old English word which means to choke or strangle. By the way, the word worry is not in God's vocabulary. Worry will choke your emotional life and reduce you to a mental skeleton. Worry is a crippler. Worry is a destroyer. Worry is a killer. Someone defined worry as interest paid on trouble before it's due. Sadly enough, some people, listen carefully, some people go through life worrying about three kinds of trouble. Number one, all the trouble they ever had. Number two, all the trouble they're having now, and all the trouble they have expect to have. Now I have some good advice and some bad advice about worry. First, the bad advice. When in trouble, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Now, the good advice. Don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you, for you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. There are 3 days in every week you should not worry. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. By the way, today is that tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. I heard about a man who made himself what he called the Wednesday worry box. He wrote on a slip of paper when something came up he thought he was going to worry about. He put it in that box and said to himself, I won't have to worry about this until next Wednesday. Guess what? When he opened the box on the next Wednesday, he discovered that most of the things that he thought he had to worry about never came to pass. In fact, statistics prove that 92% of all the things that people worry about never happen. I'm reminded of the dear old lady who stood up in the testimony meeting and said, I'm an old woman. I've had lots of troubles in my life, most of which never happened. Someone wrote, some of your griefs you have cured, and the worst you've always survived. But what agonies you have endured from the troubles that never arrived. Think this over. The darkest, most debilitating, most devastating hour you ever had is just 60 minutes long. Someone wrote, worry is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Have you ever thought about whether or not birds worry? I'm going to tell you, birds do not worry. Listen to this, said the robin to the sparrow. I wonder why these human beings rush around and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. By the way, I should have told you these are talking birds. The sparrow said to the robin, do you suppose it could be they have no heavenly father such as takes care of you and me? I love to watch the birds in my backyard. We have a great variety of birds that come every day as long as I feed them and give them water. Not long ago, there was a dove at the bird bath drinking. And all of a sudden, it flew up this big speckled bird. And that speckled bird thought, well, that dove, he's a peaceful bird. About that time, that dove went, hit him on the side, and that speckled bird took off. I never did see him after that. But you know what? I never saw one of those birds fly up to the highest limb on the tallest tree in my backyard and jump out and commit suicide. Never. That brings me to question number two. How does worry affect a person? Well, to begin with, worry affects the whole person, body, soul, spirit, and mind. It reduces one's level of achievement. It depletes the body of its physical strength. It robs you of sleep. It gives you neck pain, back pain, leg pain, and head pain. It contributes to heart trouble. It brings on indigestion and ulcers. It stalls the engine of one's life and puts that life in reverse. Let me put it this way. Worry wastes your body, cankers your soul, dampens your spirit, and dulls your mind. I warn you that perpetual worry will get you one place ahead of time, the cemetery. Now, what are the main causes of worry, preacher? Well, I've got three I want to give you. Number one, thinking of self instead of thinking of others. Some people are like an island. Self on the north, self on the south, self on the east, and self on the west. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3:00. It was very small. 3 guests in all. I, myself, and me. I ate up all the sandwiches while myself drank all the tea. I also ate the pie and said, pass the cake to me. That's the way some people live, thinking only of self. There's a second cause of worry, thinking of what you do not have instead of what you do have. Have you heard people say, well, if I just had a larger house, if I had a newer car, if I had a better job, if I had made more money, if I had a better mind, if I could say what these people, my neighbors, say they have and they do in the places that, if, listen, if is a word of delay. It's a word of defeat. It's a word of destruction. We have in our home a little plaque that reads, don't think about the things you don't get after praying. Think of the countless things God gives you without asking. We know that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. There's a third cause of worry. Please don't miss this. Failure to exercise faith in God. Jesus Christ himself erases all doubts, all fears, all frustrations, all worry, all anxiety in just 4 words. They are recorded in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. That's in your Bible. Jesus said it. I'm going to quote him. He said, have faith in God. Someone wrote, doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. One of my favorite verses on faith is Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And this is Jesus speaking again, and I'm going to quote him. He said, if you had faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, I got to thinking about this business of moving mountains a long time ago. So I went to the Yellow Pages. I searched the Yellow Pages for mountain movers. I looked high and low, far and wide. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, the only thing that can move mountains is faith. Jesus said it, have faith in God. The third question, how can worry be overcome? I can tell you that worry cannot be overcome by drugs or alcohol or mental gymnastics. It cannot be overcome by sedatives and tranquilizers. It cannot be overcome by making resolutions and turning over new leaves. I know you're asking then, how then can I overcome worry? I'm bothered with it every day. I get up worrying. I go through the day worrying. I go to bed worrying. How can I overcome it? Please don't miss this. Perfect peace and freedom from worry are guaranteed to those who keep their minds on God. That is constantly thinking of Him. Go to bed thinking of God. Get up thinking of God. Go through the day thinking of God. Repeat that cycle day after day after day. Listen to what Isaiah wrote about it in his 26th chapter, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Stayed. That's what I was saying a while ago. Start the day thinking of God. Keep God in your mind. Keep God in your thoughts. And you will overcome this business of worry. Now before leaving you, I have a biblical prescription for overcoming. Listen carefully. Number one, first ingredient of this prescription, right out of the Bible, in fact, right out of my text, the right kind of praying, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Remember? We just read it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can I tell you that the right kind of praying strikes a fatal blow to worry and anxiety? The second ingredient in this biblical prescription of overcoming worry, the right kind of thinking, that's in verse 8. I love this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Now, everything that Paul lists there is a characteristic of an optimist. Don't be a pessimist all your life. As through life you go, dear brother, whatever may be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. There's a third ingredient, the right kind of living, verse 9 in my text. These things which you have both learned and received and heard, now watch this, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. A wise man once said, I don't remember who he was, he may have been me, be sure what you're living for is worth dying for. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you pray right, think right, and live right, you will be right, and your worry will be a distant memory. Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot overcome your worry. Right out of the book, the prescription comes to you tonight. Join me in prayer, please. Our Father, we are grateful that your word tells us what to do, when to do, how to do, and why to do. How to pray and how to think and how to live. How to overcome the worries, the fears, and the frustrations and the anxieties that are in this life. We know that our victory is in Jesus Christ. We know that you are, as our pastor said a moment ago, still on the throne. You will take care of your own. Your promises are true. You will see us right through, for you're still on your throne. May we not forget that. Now bless the pastor as he comes to close the service, as the Lord leads him. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Barber, for that helpful, practical Bible message. My guess is that everybody who's watching this evening has something to worry about. And my guess is that every person watching has worried about something today. And what a helpful reminder that everyone can remember: pray right, think right, live right, and worry will be gone. And God made us a promise about it, and he always keeps it. I wonder if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the greatest peace that you could ever have is the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven.